More and more business owners are crying the blues over Facebook ads, the changes, the costs. And as a podcaster in small business, it can totally feel like it's not even an option. So Matt Shields is coming on the show today from Chimehouse Media to change that. He's going to pull back the curtain and share how he's using podcast content to create targeted audiences, grow your podcast, and get more leads. Let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I'm super pumped about this conversation today because I think it's like an absolute game changer for podcasters. So I have with me Matt from Chimehouse Media, which is a boutique social media ad agency. And his approach is super different and I love it. So we're going to dive in. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, I mean, people have been crying the blues about Facebook for some time now and their stupid algorithms, that bad A word.
Me included. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And with just ads in general, can you just kind of like frame the conversation and talk about like what changes have taken place?
Recently? Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about what happened. Yeah. So
what happened?
Yeah. So first of all, you have to understand why social media exists. Okay. So the whole point of these two websites, like I'm going to focus on Facebook and Instagram alone, because that's what we focus on, because keeping up with them is a full-time job. But those social media websites, if they're free, right? Anything that's free, you're the product, right? So the whole goal of the social media is to keep you on their platform for as long as possible so they can show you advertising. Mm-hmm. That's why. So they sell advertising space to people like me, and they sell me behavioral data. So essentially, like everybody, you're the algorithm. When you hear people use that word, and I'm going to use it probably 100 times in this conversation, because the algorithm changes all the time. And you have to talk about the algorithm like it's a person, because it is.
That makes sense.
It changes as a personality. It's finicky. It's hard to work with. And you have to figure it out, right? So the algorithm reads behavioral data. Anything that you interact with, hover over, like, comment, share, all of that stuff gets put into essentially, like, you ever see The Sims?
Yes.
Okay. You know that thing on top of their head? All right. It's a perfect analogy for that. So a perfect visualization for this was like, if each person, and let's say for just argument's sake, that your personality online is based off of like 60,000 data points into a behavioral data matrix that's attached to your personality on the website, right? And this is going to be, I'm trying to explain it as easy as possible, but you display certain behavior characteristics online as you interact with, whether it be consciously or subconsciously. And if you mess with it, you can see exactly what it's doing. So for instance, if you're scrolling through your feed and you see something that's completely unrelated to anything that you've ever seen before, like it or click on it or do something, and then see how many posts you see in the next 10 minutes that have something to do with that. I wish that they would just come out and say that they're listening, because how many times have you been talking about something and then it just pops up? Right. Yeah. I can't use that. I don't know if that actually, that they've never come out and said it, and I can't use it for targeting because they don't say that they do that, because that would be a little shady. But I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen it.
It happens. Leave it at that.
Right. So the way it used to be, and by used to be, I mean, in 2021, Apple came out with an iOS update, as they do all the time, but their update that was iOS 14 and a half, okay, was the big one, and it messed everybody up. It actually helped us as a business, because we had just started in April of 2020 running ads for people on Facebook and Instagram. And what happened was Apple's iOS update opted every Apple user out of targeted ads. involuntarily. It just automatically opted you out of getting targeted ads. So all of that behavioral data for people who, if you have an ad and you're sending people to your website, the pixel is on your website, is installed on your website, and it was sending data back to Ads Manager from people's devices. And like something like 80 to 90% of people interact with ads via mobile. Okay. That's just like the number one way people scroll.
Totally.
So if you have an Apple device, which in the States, Apple owns like 61% of the share or something like that. I could be wrong. Like, don't quote me, but I think it's like 60% of the share. And so 60% of the people who interact with your ads, you weren't getting that data back. So your data was all messed up. So you don't know who was open, what, whatever. And that was overnight. Okay. So
that's crazy.
Right. And then Google Chrome started taking cookies away. And then you have a lot of these data privacy laws that are coming out and all these things. So you had to adapt, right? So Facebook has been doing a bunch of changes and they take away targeting options for your ads all the time. What that inadvertently did, and I say inadvertently, it's not, it was on purpose. Okay. It hurt small businesses a lot because you used to be able to be, if you were trying to do sales ads, now we're talking about sales ads.
Yep.
Because that was the whole goal before, is just run an ad to this thing and get people to buy it.
Yeah.
And you could get super granular with the targeting, very specific with the targeting. So you can find the right person to buy your stuff, your ideal client, and you could target them almost exactly the way you want to. And they would be more likely to buy your stuff. But now, since they take those targeting options away, and you can't get as granular with your targeting anymore, you either have to take the time, and this is where we come in. This is the tactic that we've come up with. And we did this just as a way of filtering an audience. But it turns out it's super good for building personal brand, building audiences and custom audiences and dynamic audiences. And it's just sort of like an audience filter. But this tactic that we used, we focused on platform actions, meaning actions on Facebook and Instagram, and then using content to filter the audience. So basically getting people into your world, force feeding them your content so they either like you or hate you. Both are good because you don't want 10,000 maybes hanging around.
No.
And you don't have to send them off to your website and worry about the data not tracking. There's data software that you can use for tracking all that stuff, and but it's expensive. So if you hire an agency, they might have it, but again, you're going to pay for it. So people with smaller budgets, and by small budgets, I mean like under $3,000 a month, under $10,000 a month, really, for sales ads, for cold sales ads, it becomes extremely difficult. So the only way you can win is either play the long game, warm up an audience, and then hit them with the ask later. And again, it's a long game.
Very.
Your organic strategies are very important because it's the substance behind your brand.
Yeah.
But your organic reach is abysmal. The average organic reach on Facebook and Instagram is 0.98% across the board. And it's not just you. It's not just you personally. So if you think you're not reaching that many people, even if you interact with other people, even if you play your hashtags right, there are organic strategies that help move the needle, but it's pretty much set up for pay to play now. So if you have a smaller budget, you have to be very efficient with it. And the most efficient way you can use that budget is to build an audience, right? Because the only other way you can win is to outbid your competition.
Yeah.
And if you can't get granular with the targeting, no, your so it's audience a crap gets shoot. Bigger and bigger and bigger. Right. So like, let's say you were a seltzer brand or let's say you were a small brewery or something. Okay. And you were trying to sell beer to people, and you wanted to sell beer to people in a specific area, and you wanted it to be people who displayed a certain type of behavior. Like it was an athletic beer brand and all that stuff. Like you wanted to target athletes, all that stuff. But if they take away those targeting options, you have to expand your crowd. And so your competition, if your beer is now for everybody, your competition becomes everybody. You know,
it's diluted.
Who else is trying to target everybody? Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
and they have $1 million a year to spend a year to spend on ads. Like it's a lot. So like all of those targets, and it becomes a lot harder too for people who are selling products. So if you have, if you're selling Oriental rugs and they take away the targeting option for Oriental rugs, you have to sell to people who like rugs now, just rugs, not specific rugs, just rugs. So it becomes harder and harder in a longer game to make those sales.
So why is what you're doing now with more of like the audience building, like how do podcasters fit into this situation and why is it good for them?
It's perfect for podcasters because of the essence of what a podcast is and how you use it. Okay. So podcasts are conversational. Okay. So if you're playing the long marketing game and the long audience building and nurturing game, people have to build that know, like, and trust factor. You have to get reach. Mm-hmm. People have to know you, like you, trust you. And people have to, your message has to resonate with the audience that you're targeting. Okay. So those are three things. But a podcast is a way to, it can sort of condense time, especially if you have good video content.
Yeah.
Right. If you have audio content, that's also great and usable because people throw on podcasts and do the dishes and drive their car and like do all kinds of things. People love podcasts. And when it comes to asking someone to do something on Facebook or Instagram, like perform an action. So let's say you were selling a $2,000 course on the back end of your podcast. Okay. So you're using your podcast for lead generation and people to get to know you. You're selling a $2,000 course. If you're trying to sell that $2,000 course to a cold audience and people don't know who you are, you're going to pay a lot more money to try to get them to go all the way through your sales process and buy from you the first time that they see you. Especially if you can't target that exact person you're looking for, so they feel like you're speaking right to them. But podcasts are great because the conversational nature. And if I can listen to you talk for half an hour, especially if you're the face of the brand and you're the service provider, it can condense that time that it takes me to get to know you like you trust you.
Agreed.
Rather than trying to consume a bunch of 6 to 15 second video clips of you that you've practiced and polished. But if you're having a conversation, you get a better idea.
Agreed.
Right. So easy ask, human nature. Right. And you're making the podcast anyway. So if you have some sort of tool that helps you, there's a bunch of tools out there, or if you have a podcast producer or anything like that, and you're using those video clips or cutting up those clips for social media, and you're using that content on your social media, it would be amiss if you didn't get it out to as many people as possible to try to get them into your world.
And so is there like a length that's better for those video clips?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So anywhere from 6 to 15 seconds, you have 6 seconds to get someone's attention. That's how we call it the TikTokification of everything. And that's why Instagram pushed, stories and reels. That's why Facebook pushed stories. It's because they want you, it's the easiest way to consume a lot of content. So they make these things. And if you go into Instagram reels, you're watching 6 seconds of a reel on average and moving on. You're just consuming content. And there is some crazy statistic that I saw that the average Instagram user opens it like 23 times an hour or something like that. It is wild. Yeah. So the whole goal is to keep you on the platform. So like we can go into physiological stuff about it giving you little dopamine hits and you get addicted to dopamine in your brain. And plus like if the world outside isn't all that nice, but the world inside there,
down a rabbit hole.
Right. So it's addicting, and it's addicting on purpose to keep you on the platform.
So how can you make a clip that is going to grasp attention quickly, but also give enough content that they're like, ooh, I want more.
Yeah. So like it's above the fold stuff. This is like marketing 101 stuff. So if you have an overarching theme of your podcast episode, and you're targeting your ideal audience, right? So if you were just targeting people who follow you, hopefully the people that follow you are the right people that are eventually going to work with you. Because if not, you just have a bunch of people. If you're trying to grow your podcast for entertainment and your audience is everybody, the more eyeballs, the better, period. But if you're trying to sell a service on the back end of your podcast, you want a certain type of person. You want a certain person, an ideal client, right? So if your message speaks directly to that person, or it has a catchy hook, or like it's educational or something like that, like you clip your podcast and thumbnails or whatever. So coming up with a theme for that podcast episode is good. And if you can get that across, you know, you're already thinking of sound bites. You're thinking of all those things for the content anyway. So if you can get something that has a juicy piece of content 6 to 7 seconds in, and I mean, icing on the cake, right? It doesn't have to be this way, but like good high quality video really does work in your face.
Yes.
So like you told me to stay in the center of the camera. That's smart too, because I get comfortable and move all around, whatever. But people, physiological responses, people stop. You want to stop the scroll.
Yeah.
Right. So there's pattern interrupters. There's all sorts of things that marketers use to stop people from scrolling. And human faces are a big one. People are just naturally inclined to stop and look at other people's faces.
Agreed. And captions, I'm assuming.
Oh, captions. Yeah. So most of the people who watch those videos do so without the sound on.
So do I.
They're at work. They're not supposed to be on their phone and doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
So as a podcaster, like what do you need to have? What do you need to do before you start any Facebook ads to get those views?
Well, you have to... First of all, you have to answer it. It's not for everybody. You don't need to do this. You can build your own personal brand up using Facebook and Instagram ads. But if you're using your podcast, depends on how you use it. If your podcast is strictly for entertainment, keep on keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If your podcast, you're trying to either solidify yourself as an expert in your field, mm-hmm. or you're doing interviews to try to grow your podcast to monetize it eventually one day, first of all, you have to have a Facebook business page.
Yeah.
And your Instagram page has to either be a business page or a creator page. Okay. You can't run ads from a personal page.
No.
But other than that, just having a tight show, having consistent content.
Okay.
Having content and having organic strategies is really good, because that's the substance behind your brand. And your brand isn't just a logo and colors. Your brand is everything that you emanate to display who you are and what you stand for, especially if you're the service provider, right? So everything that you represent yourself on your page, you have to have consistent content, just because you want people to stay with you, and you want to nurture those people along the way, and you want these people to keep interacting with you.
Yeah.
Right. So like keeping on your organic strategies and what works. If you find out that some people interact with some things more, that's important too. And there's lots of different ways you can test that, both organically and with ads. But it mostly, if you're doing it organically, you're mostly just testing who's following you. If you get good, or if you get good engagement right now, more than 1% engagement of your audience size, you're doing pretty good. Because that means you're reaching more than that 1% on average. And that means you have a good engaged audience that hear what you're saying, and your messaging is resonating with the audience that you're talking to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
That makes sense. And then, so I know, so when you're running these ads, what is your goal? To get more views so that you can do something else to them, or like,
how
does the strategy work?
So the strategy works by building up your audience. So also you can do things on the back end, but the main front part of it is basically cultivating an audience. Mm-hmm. And we call it an audience scrubber. So basically you want to get people into your world, force feed them content until they either keep interacting with you or stop interacting with you. Because likes, shares, comments are all vanity metrics unless you use them for audience building.
Mm.
Right? So like they're all just great. If you got a bunch of likes and shares, it's a good way to gauge engagement, a good way to gauge your messaging. But you can't do anything with those people. You can't do anything about it unless you use them for audience building. So until you've created a custom audience based on the people who interact with you, you can't. Great. They're just there. They're listening to you. But how do you reach more of those people?
Right. So if I'm just going to recap, just to make sure I'm understanding it right, and same with, for the audience. So you're using those video clips from your podcast, obviously putting it in front of people to get more views and so forth. And through that, you're creating a custom audience so that you have the targeting you need that you couldn't do because Facebook sucks.
You couldn't do it organically.
Right.
Because again, okay. If you do things like cross promotion or hashtags and stuff like that, you can't control who sees it.
No.
At all. So if you have people just searching randomly, but they're not your ideal client, you're going to fill your group with maybes, right? You don't want a bunch of maybes. You want hell yes or hell no, especially if you're selling something on the back end. Again, if you're using it for entertainment or using it just to build followers so that you can monetize it that way, because I think the golden ticket number to start monetizing your podcast is about 1,000 downloads per episode, correct?
I would even say 5,000.
5,000? Okay. Yeah. So
it's crazy.
If you want to get more eyeballs on it, then you're almost forced to. So the only way that's being taught right now, and this is why we came up with a strategy for podcasters specifically, because we saw that need in the market, because there's the things that are taught to podcasters on how to grow your podcast is all organic. It's cross promotion. It's go on other people's podcasts. That's good, but are other people's podcasts, are other people's followers your ideal clients? Maybe, maybe not. Again, it's what you use your podcast for. So that's super important, right? If you're just trying to grow followers to get followers because your podcast is about interviews or personality, your personality is the brand that's growing, that's different. But if you're talking to like lawyers or trial lawyers and you want to do a podcast for lawyers, how are you going to reach lawyers? You got to go on other lawyers' podcasts. You have to try to target those people somehow. Knowing your ideal client is absolutely great for messaging and knowing who you're talking to, but being able to find them on the internet is a totally different deal.
Ain't that the truth? So once you've got this, like, you know, you're doing your thing and you're doing the ads on all the content, and then you've got you're creating this great audience that is hopefully your ideal client. What's next? Like, what do you do with that?
So again, it depends on what you're doing with your podcast. If you're selling a service on the back end, you can start by trying to get some of those people on your email list.
Yes.
So I did an experiment with a friend of ours, and he's a big podcaster. He teaches podcasting business school, but we wanted to see how little we could spend. It's not like I wanted to see I didn't want to see what results we could get for $1,000 or $10,000. That's not the best gauge of it. I want to know how little we can spend, because most podcasters, okay, there's 2 million podcasts on Spotify alone, right? And 25% of those never made it past 2 episodes. 65% never made it past 10. And only, I think I heard like only 7% of podcasters make it past the 50 podcast episodes.
I know.
Right? So like your competition, if you're a savvy business owner or you're using your podcast for business, your competition from the surface looks like 2 million people, but you just cut 93% of them out because they
just quit. By being consistent.
Yeah. So we didn't want people to miss out on this strategy, on a way to move the needle, because they don't have the money to pay for an ad agency. It seems ridiculous to us because, again, we're small business owners. We know exactly how much it costs to hire. We grew with very little ads, right? The cobbler's kids have no shoes, okay? We grew with very few ads. We ran ads for ourselves, and thank goodness that we were able to do this ourselves, because we wouldn't have been able to move the needle for a couple $100 a month had we not known what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's not thousands of dollars a month. It's just this audience building strategy can be employed for $300 to $500 a month.
I love that.
But that's the ad spend, right? But what you do with that audience afterwards is you start by getting people on your email list.
Yeah.
You can then, if you're doing boot camps, if you're doing webinars, if you're doing any sort of sales funnel strategy, do that. You can get these people to book calls with you. You can get these people to book your house for the weekend. You can get, you know, it depends on what you're doing with your
totally.
podcast.
You get them to take an action.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. You can get them to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. And it's easier to do that if they know you, like you trust you. Right. So, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like part of the puzzle too, when it comes to small business owners and Facebook ads, one of them is like all the myths that are out there and, you know, ooh, all of this can happen with this, where it's like a lot of false information is out there. The other thing I feel like is that business owners have the wrong expectations. Like they feel like, oh, if I hire a Facebook ad agency or if I do XYZ, oh my God, I'm going to get like my business is going to take off and all of these things. Like how do you mitigate that, those issues?
Easy. Okay. So like, it's literally like we try to have human conversations with people, right? So we're what's called, we try to formulate it as a boutique agency, which means we don't, if you need ad experts that do something else other than we bring people in. We don't white label and pretend that we're a big agency. We get you another expert and we hook you up with them. It's usually like people that we trust. And if you have any sort of stigma about this, I'm going to explain to you what's happening. Especially if you have a lower budget, if we're building this audience, I'm going to explain to you exactly what I'm doing. So, because I want you to know what I'm doing, because I want you to know how I'm testing these things. You have to test. And if more people knew how to run ads, it would be less scary. Because
true.
I'll just talk about that. So
it
that
feels overwhelming. And sorry, I just want to preface. I wasn't putting that question like you personally.
Oh no, I know. So it's scary and it can be like intimidating, but like ads aren't going to save your business at all. We've had many people come to us and be like, I need ads. Okay. Red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag number one. Okay. Because it's advertising, right? And the scary thing is it's advertising. So your results, if you're doing Facebook and Instagram ads in particular, like we don't work with everybody because your results are based on behavioral data from a social media website that's literally affected by all of this, everything. Super Bowl week, forget about your ads.
Yes.
Literally, like,
no,
sweetest
absolutely.
Day. Sweetest day, forget about them. Facebook has an outage, forget it. If you need help calling Facebook, you're going to get some 25-year-old kid from Palo Alto who went through a training course but doesn't know a thing about pressing publish on an ad and take care of your campaigns, right? So what we try to do is we try to make relationships with our clients so that we can talk to them freely and let them understand what's going on. Like, I'm not going to guarantee results for anything, but I guarantee that I won't waste your money. If the ads aren't working, they're not spending money. So it's not like $500. Like if you have a $500 a month budget, Facebook doesn't take $500 and spends it as it sees fit. You get charged based on certain parameters, right? It's usually per 1,000 people you reach. So if we can set the budgets, there's a lot of technicalities, but we can set the budgets to a daily budget. So like a $10 a day budget, you'll spend average $300, right? So it'll spend the average of $10 a day over a month. Okay. And that's what we use to test. That's what we use to scale, because if it's not working, if it's not meeting the parameters that we're setting, it's not meeting those performance indicators, you just shut it off.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money. Right. That's the good part. It's not like buying. And another thing is like, what are your other marketing strategies? Are you emailing people? Because we can switch it up and get people to your email list if you're getting better traction on email. Other than that, if you're a broad generalist, like if your audience is pretty much everybody in a certain region, if you're hyper local, Facebook is pretty much a dynamic billboard at that point. But your billboard, you can track and you can see who sees it versus putting a billboard on the side of the highway and you have no idea who saw it.
No idea.
You just hope people saw it. Right. So it's just managing expectations and trying to make I tell everybody, I will teach you everything that I know about running these ads, because the more educated you are, the better conversations that we can have around finding your exact numbers, right? Because just because I work, especially podcasters, right? Just because I work with one podcaster doesn't mean you can achieve the results of the next podcaster.
True.
Because your message has to resonate with your audience.
Exactly.
And they have to like your personality.
It's not a cookie cutter approach.
No. So you have to test. And that's the point. Like, we show you the numbers. They show you the numbers that you're looking for. Right. And I can teach anybody this. If you want to run them yourself, I can teach you how to run them yourself. So you know what you're looking for. And that actually helps too, because inevitably, if you knew how to run your own ads, you could save a bunch of money bootstrapping it yourself. And by the time you go to hire an agency to get your time back, one, you won't get screwed over because you know what you're talking
about.
You
actually know what questions to ask.
Yeah. Well, it's like going to your mechanic, right? So like if they charge you $300 for blinker fluid and you're like, oh, neat, I guess I needed that, you're going to get screwed over big time. But if you know what questions to ask.
Oh, huge.
You won't have a bad, like we've run into a lot of clients that have come to us, and they usually come to us like second or third. Okay. Sometimes we've worked with a lot of people who've never run ads before, and we try to explain this in the beginning, but it usually gets lost in there because they're like working on it, whatever. But like, listen, we told you have to test all this stuff. But if they don't know what questions to ask, or they don't know what exactly they're looking for or trying to achieve, then they just think that they had a bad relationship with the last person and ads don't work or ads don't work for me.
So true. I've heard that so many times.
Well, that's why I get skeptical. I'm like, okay, well, what happened?
Yeah.
And sometimes I go into people's ads managers and they fired their last ads manager and it looks like they've done nothing wrong. They've set it up exactly the way that I want it, but maybe that person didn't know what they were asking for.
Or didn't know how to explain the process, set those expectations.
Yeah, or just communication.
Exactly.
Right.
Wholeheartedly.
So all of that matters. It's all very personal. And it's all very, this is why we do like the boutique style. Because like, I want to explain this to you. I'm big on education because, I mean, I'm a small business owner and I don't know what I don't know. So I ask a lot of questions. And there's still stuff.
I love how honest you are and how like you unveil the curtain. It's like, I'll tell you what I know. Where I find a lot of Facebook ad agencies, they keep it all tight to their chest and they don't even fully just like you ask what's going on, give me the reporting. And it feels like you're getting blood from a stone to get the reporting that you're paying for. And it's
Well, yeah. So again, that's a business tactic. And I don't know if this one's better or worse than what they're doing, but like if I want to show you exactly what I'm doing and here's why.
Yeah.
And the results don't come out well. Like if I get poor results, okay, it's because I tried this, this, and this, and it just didn't work. Not because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm testing this.
It's all testing.
And that message, that ad, that headline, whatever I separated out and test, that didn't work with that audience that I was targeting.
Yep.
Next.
Totally.
Right? So, and hopefully it doesn't take long to find that right special sauce.
Yes.
But yeah. So,
agreed.
And then they take away targeting options all the time. So you just have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
You have to be flexible, right? And you have to be understanding. There is some level of trust there, but make no mistake about it. I understand that you're using your own money, especially as a solo entrepreneur, because we've done it. We have made mistakes in hiring coaches. Some stuff hasn't worked for us. We've run our own ads to varying degrees of success, right? So it's just, it has to do with the algorithm, what's going. You have to test all this stuff, but I would rather have my clients informed than keeping the wool over their eyes and just handing them the report that they don't understand every month and just collecting it, because it ultimately leads, like, my clients are more likely to become my friends than my friends become my clients. You know,
me
old
too.
Chestnut, right? So I've had a lot of clients that have really good relationships now. And even though like we might not achieve the best results at that time, or we've worked together for years, right? Either way, I want it to end the same. I want you to leave the relationship at some, whatever stage, having learned something or having something tangible to take away from.
Yeah. I love that. And
just trying to leave things better than I found them.
Aw. No, you have a very authentic, genuine, trustworthy vibe about you in anyways.
Thank
And
you.
yeah. Now you teach, not only do you have a like a done for you service, but you teach people
Right.
how to do this, right?
Yeah. Because it's, so if you go in there and you try to learn yourself, so this is exactly why. So I come across like this, or I talk like this because I don't have any formal sales training, right? Like I have a degree in environmental science, and I was a safety manager at a chemical company before I did this.
What?
And so, yeah, that's the story. How we got started was I took a $4,000 course on how to run Facebook ads as a business. And that was going to be our side hustle during, like, we didn't know COVID was coming. But that was going to be our side hustle for a bit until we wanted to open up our own business. We had no idea what that was, but COVID happened, and April of 2020, we started doing this full time. And then the next May, my wife quit her job, and we have been doing this since.
That's
awesome. So we have a couple of businesses, but we've been doing this since then.
Amazing.
And where were we going? What was the question? I lost train.
That you have courses, or you teach
Oh my God. Yeah.
So
we teach people, like, so I took a course and I hated learning like that. And I would just rather, so I'm very coachable. So I'm the type of person that learns by doing. And if someone shows me how to do something correctly, like one or two times, I got it.
Same.
But if you go into Ads Manager by yourself and try to figure it out by yourself, you'll either one get lost. If you're really technical, you can figure it out. But if you listen to any suggestions that Facebook or Facebook Ads Manager makes for you, that there's pop-up suggestions, there's pop-up warnings, there's pop-up everything. You have to know what to ignore. You have to know
it's
what's just noise.
Confusing.
Well, you have to know what's relevant to you as well. Like, okay, great, that's a good warning, but I'm not trying to do that, so leave me alone. It'll warn you before you publish, like, hey, we suggest changing this, this, and this.
That's
Or
cool.
We suggest combining these two audiences because they're similar. No, I'm testing something. So you have to know what you're doing, right? But, and it's, there's a difference between simple and easy. It's a simple concept once you learn what it is that you're trying to achieve with those things. But it's not easy to go in there and figure it out because there's a bunch of technical stuff in the way.
Yes.
It's like looking at an airplane cockpit, right?
You
It's
can't tell
literally
one button
like
from
that.
another. They all look the
There's
same.
a million buttons, there's a million choices, or all that stuff. But if you know what's relevant and what pertains to you and what you can ignore, it becomes very easy. And once you get it under control, you know what to turn off, what not to turn, you know, all that stuff. It's really easy. And I can teach you in about 6 hours.
Ooh.
And then it's just follow up. It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Right. And we're also designing a course at some
point. So you
point
do that
because,
one-on-one?
Yeah, one-on-one. I don't
Ooh,
do
I love that.
Group. I don't do group coaching, any of that yet. I don't know. Again, like a lot of people learn in a bunch of different ways. So we're just trying to adapt the way it is. But I'm starting out with how I like to learn. So if someone else likes to learn like that, great. I will baby bird you through this in however long it takes. Usually it's 4 to 6 hours. We get to record the session.
Yeah.
And you get me for a month of support after that.
That's
but
perfect.
If you need to, and then if you need to book an hour after that, because you have a couple of questions, just book an hour. It's fine. But it's cheaper than hiring an agency.
Hell to the ass.
We're just trying to find the people who want to, like, again, I understand that some people don't have time to do that. So we do ads as a service. That's, we do that as well. But like, if someone has the capacity and the bandwidth to learn how to do this, and I promise you, it's easier than you think it is once you get into it.
Yeah.
But if you have the capacity and the want to learn how to do this, you can save yourself a ton of money and a
Oh,
ton of
God,
headache
yes.
just moving the needle by yourself.
Right? I know. What you're doing, it just totally like excites me. I think it's a game changer for a lot of small businesses, especially podcasters that are wanting to use their podcast to grow their business.
Yeah, it's also like working on building your personal brand so you can be a guest on other people's podcasts too. So like, you can go to somebody with like the metrics of, look, I get this many engagements a month. I do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. I have this many downloads. I have all this stuff. And then you're more likely to position yourself as an expert on whatever it is that you're talking about.
So true.
That's like we've done that with people the whole time we've spent well over $1 million in ad spend with our clients. And we've done this strategy since that iOS update came out with anywhere from $1,000 a month clients to $30,000 a month clients.
Oh, wow.
Because it's just an easy, effective way to
scrub
an audience.
Yeah. I love it. So how can people find out about you and reach out to you to get help, to figure it all out so that I'm just so excited that people can see that it's doable. It's not like, oh, I need 10 grand a month to be able to make it now.
Right. Yeah. So we're on Facebook and Instagram. My wife runs our Facebook and Instagram. She's the boss. We're both on the board of the American Marketing Association here in Charlotte, and she's actually the president. So you'll see her beautiful face on our social media and all on our website. And we're at Chime House Media on all social platforms. And that offer that I was talking about is www.chimehousemedia.com/podcast. And it's a 1-day one-on-one intensive VIP day. So
love it.
We can either set up the strategy for you and you would take care of it after that if you know how to run your own ads already, or I can teach you how to do it. And there's an option for that.
I think that's awesome. I love what you're doing. I'm so excited about your business. I need to meet your wife one of these days next.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for just like opening up that curtain, showing behind the scenes what's really going on in Facebook and how people can actually make it accessible to grow.
I just don't want people to, like, especially small business owners, to miss out on that portion of it because it's so cost effective, and it doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah.
If people hold this precious and they charge you exorbitant amounts to get to that point, it's technical. So there's going to be some teaching, but it's not a secret.
It's
ridiculous. There's 10 million Facebook advertisers. You're not the first person to do it.
Yeah. I love it. I appreciate you so much. I know we're chatting again soon, and excited for this episode to go live so everyone can know that it's successful.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you. All right. See you folks. See you next week.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.